All right, we're going to pick back up with our study guide, Preparation for the Journey of Life. In the first session, I mentioned two particular scriptures. I want to give you those exact references, and I want to read them to you. One is Jeremiah 1:5. We were talking about the fact that the Lord put us in earth on purpose. He had a reason for creating you. He had a reason for sending you into the earth right when He did. It's also about the timing of the Lord. The Lord knew exactly what season you'd arrive. He knew what would be going on the planet when you got here. He knows how old you are today. I remind Him of that sometimes. Lord, you know how old I am. Oh, yeah. He knows. He knows everything about you. And He put you here on purpose. Here's what He told Jeremiah. This is in 1:5. Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb." Who formed you? God formed you. And I said earlier, it doesn't matter how you got here. You know, I've heard people talk about children being, this one was an accident, we hadn't planned on this one, and other much worse situations. You know, some people are here because of rape, but their mother chose to bear them. Doesn't matter how you got here, the Lord knew you were coming because He sent you on purpose. So the delivery method isn't the issue. The fact that you got here is. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you," or set you apart. "I ordained you a prophet to the nations." On purpose. Now, I'll point out here that Jeremiah could have chosen not to go along with the Lord's plan. Because that's not automatic, just because the Lord sent you. And sent you on purpose with a mission. But He did. Whether we choose to follow Him or not, that's our part. But Jeremiah did, and he became that prophet that the Lord intended him to be. Now, the scripture that I referred to about Paul, I said, I think it's in Corinthians. Well, I thought wrong. It's in Galatians, and it's in Galatians 1:15, and here's what he said. Except I like to back up to 13, because that kind of takes his whole life in. He says, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." And then he goes on to talk about some more things. But here's what I want us to see. From his mother's womb, God called him to preach the gospel among the Gentiles. Now, Saul of Tarsus, as he was known for a while in his life, went about doing just the opposite because he came into a religious approach to things, and he was actually persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. But God revealed himself to the man and set him about the right road on purpose. And then that zeal was all channeled in the right direction, and he became exactly who God created him to be. So again, it isn't automatic. And God didn't disallow Saul to do the things he was doing, but he did have a confrontation with him that changed his heart and his life. So, we're here on purpose, and that was my point in bringing out those two scriptures, God's purpose. Now, our introduction begins with this sentence, "From birth to death is a journey. Some journeys are longer than others." What we accomplish in life is determined by the preparations that we make as we journey through life. Now listen to me. Whatever you're good at and whatever you like to do sets you up to contribute to the benefit of others. So what you're good at, what you're gifted at, what you are able to do naturally, you can develop and sharpen, but God put that in you on purpose. Your personality has everything to do with your purpose. He fully equipped you as a seed You came with everything on the inside that you would need to do what He put you here to do. But we must make preparation along the way. Just because you have the potential to do what He put you here to do doesn't mean that it's going to be done automatically. It won't be done without your cooperating with Him as He leads you. So potential is a wonderful thing, but undeveloped potential is just wasted potential. And you remember that scripture about that we read to start out with about there's no work or plan or wisdom or knowledge in the grave where you're eventually going? Well, if all the potential that God put in you ends up in the ground, undeveloped, untapped, of no benefit to anybody else, then it's wasted. And you'll give an account for it. You remember the parable of the talents? What did you do with what I gave you? That's what we'll give an account for. So we want to make sure that we're about the business of doing what God has put us here to do. The problem with that is that we all want to, but we don't have the whole picture. We like to have the whole picture. We like to have the blueprint and the map so that we don't make any mistakes. Because if we don't make any mistakes, then we'll, you know, people will think, well, we're somebody. But the truth is, I don't know anybody who's doing anything, whether it's naturally or for God, who doesn't make mistakes. If you're doing anything, you're making mistakes. If you're not making any mistakes, you're not doing anything. So we can get past the thought that what if I fail? Well, what if you do? You only fail for keeps if you quit. Everybody has to do things again. And again, and again, until we get it right. That's called learning. That's called progressing. That's called developing. That's called fulfilling your potential, reaching your potential. And we prepare as we go. Now, God is the promoter. The scripture teaches us that promotion or advancement, if you want to call it that, and I'm not just talking about jobs. That's one aspect of promotion, but promotion comes in many different forms. God says, the Word says that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He also exalts those who humble themselves before Him. And as we prepare ourselves, then God can promote us. In other words, He can put us where He wants us to be, but we have to make the preparation. Promotion comes, it doesn't come, the scripture teaches it, it doesn't come from the east or the west, but from above. But the thing is, if God wants us in a certain place, and we haven't qualified ourselves to be there, then we have some obstacles to overcome to get there, and sometimes we can't get there. I'll use myself as an example. God called me to teach. He put the gifts in me to teach. And I took that in the natural direction and became a school teacher, which was doing what I loved to do, passionate about it, loved teaching high school kids, and what I was good at doing. That's what I was good at. I didn't know He wanted me to teach the Word of God eventually. He didn't give me all the pieces. I'd have probably messed up trying to get ready to do that. But He directed my steps toward that. But what if I decided, well, I know I want to teach, but I don't think I need to go to college. I don't want to go to college. I just want to teach. Well, I could have taught somewhere, probably. I would have been somewhere teaching somebody. If it was a hill of ants, I'd have been teaching because it's in me to do that. But I wouldn't have been teaching public school because I wouldn't have had the credentials to do it. And you can't teach without a license, just like you can't drive without a license. So you have to prepare so that God can put you where He wants you. Well, what if I don't know what I'm supposed to do? Well, do what you do know to do. That's where we start. Always do what you know to do. That's all you can do in faith. Unless you start doing things on your own, and we just took a review for a test on that. When you do something by natural means, then it'll be natural means that supports you in it. But if God is the source of what you do, then God will be the resource for what you do. He will direct your steps. So we prepare and God promotes. We prepare ourselves and He orders our steps. We plan, He expects us to. We plot and weave. We figure out how we're going to get places and do things. And unless He gives us a check on that, He lets us progress along our way. And He directs our steps. Now, if we're stepping wrong, He'll convict us. Or if it's not a sin we're stepping, but it's the wrong direction, and that's not where He wants us to go, or it's not the time that He wants to go, He'll give us an unrest on the inside. We won't have peace about it. And we'll know not to do it. I have a young lady in my school right now who went in for a job interview this afternoon. And she is a basket case. And I think I know why. But I wouldn't tell her, don't go interview for that job. It's not time for you to do that. I can't tell her that. I can answer her questions or give her counsel. But she lost her peace the minute she agreed to go interview for it. And she's a believer. Well, that tells you a lot if you'll listen. Okay? Maybe the time is not yet for that job. When God promotes, the peace is with it, and the grace too. He'll set you, and when He does, then the grace will be there to accomplish what He's put you there to do. So, we make choices. We're all born with potential, but few realize and maximize their potential. I've heard this old adage that the graveyard is the richest place in town. Why is that? Because it's full of potential. Buried potential. Well, potential that isn't realized is exactly that. It's just worthless. You can have all the potential to do anything in this world, and if you don't develop that potential and do it, then what good was it? It wasn't. But God put that potential in us, and we'll give an account for it. That's what we need to understand. Now, every destination has its own peculiar road. And first of all, we have to know where we are. We really talked about that some with the last study guide as well. Where am I? And then I got to know, where am I going? What is my destination? Where do I want to be eventually? And that develops, that comes over time. But vision determines the road that one should travel. What is it that you see yourself doing? What is it that you know you can do? Where do you see yourself? How is it that you can contribute to the people around you? Because you see, what we come to understand is that it's really not about what I can do as far as that being for myself. You know, I did this, I did that. Well, big deal. What good did it do anybody? Now, when I get me out of the way and realize, yes, I did this because God gave me an opportunity to do it, and look who it benefited, then I benefit as well. Your life was given to you so that you could give your life to others. That's what I'm saying. Your whole ultimate purpose is to give your life away in such a way that only you could do it. You are uniquely you. And God wants you to give Jesus through you as only you can give Him. You're a life giver. That's why you're here. You've made an eternal decision in this natural life. You've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that has changed your eternity from forever without God to forever with God. Forever with God. But there are a lot of people around you who haven't made that decision. And their forever, their eternity, may hinge on you being put in this earth. I know that's true. If I don't know it with anybody else, I know it with my daddy. I know that's true. He didn't listen to anybody else. But he listened to me one day. Because God told me what to tell him. And it made a forever difference. I know where he is. He's forever with God. Just because of some words. But I got to speak them. Now that is satisfying. And as disappointed as he was, that Marine DI, daddy of mine, when he had a little girl first, little old bitty 6-pound girl, God had a plan for the two of us. He must have laughed when daddy was so disappointed that I came the way I did. But daddy's the one laughing now. You understand? You're put here for other people. And the more you give your life away, the more life you'll have on the inside. It's self-perpetuating. But the more you save your own life and hold on to your own self-life, the more you will lose you. And so will everybody else. And that's a sad way to spend the journey. The journey isn't about you, even though it's your journey. Isn't that an interesting paradox? God didn't put you here for you. He put you here for me, for one, and for a lot of other people too. He didn't put you here for you. And if we could just learn that, if people could just learn that, that would be a major improvement in the whole climate of even the natural. I'm not here for me. I've heard it said this way, it's not about you. But you know, people don't hear that message very well. They get all confused. And they think it is about them. And that's a sad existence. That's a lonely existence. And it's a pretty futile existence when you get right down to it. Well, vision determines the road that we should travel. Where is it that God wants me to go? Now, without a vision, you can't know the road to choose. And even with a vision, now think about this. Here's the person I thought of when I read that statement, Joseph. Joseph had the vision, the dream. God gave it to him at a young age of leadership. He saw his, you know, haystack. Thank you. That's an easier word than the she's the word I'm thinking of. He saw the haystacks bowing down to his haystack. And then he saw the sun and the moon, his parents, bowing down. And he told it. They already didn't like him because of that long-sleeved tunic. Remember that lesson? That set him apart from his brothers. It wasn't a working man's tunic. He was favored by his father. And boy, when he told them that dream, they really didn't like him. And that did it. But you know what? It was in him. It was who God made him to be. And he never relinquished it. But he didn't get from his daddy's place to the palace in Egypt by an easy road. It was a hard road. His own brother sold him into slavery. He rose to leadership as a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife found him very attractive. Scripture says he was handsome. She had a plan to get him off track. And guess what? He wouldn't come off the road. Ran from her. She falsely accused him. He ended up in prison because they believed her instead of him. There's another setback. I think about the times he could have quit. But he held on to the vision that God had given him. And it was like pushing down a cork. Every time they'd take their hand off him, he'd come right back up to the top. Because God put the vision of leadership in him. He was above and not beneath. And any situation that made him feel like he was beneath, he ended up above in that situation. He became the leader of the prisoners. Then he was remembered for interpreting dreams of a baker and a butler in the prison, and it was some years until that helped him out, but finally he came to Pharaoh's attention because Pharaoh had a dream he didn't understand. And eventually, you know, he ended up second command in all of Egypt, second in command of everything. In fact, everywhere he went, it said the master of the house, Potiphar, the master of the prison, you know, who was over the prison, and Pharaoh himself didn't even know what they had because they entrusted everything they had to Joseph. They didn't have to worry about it. Who did that? God did that. Whose vision was that? It was Joseph's vision, but God showed it to him, and he was never willing to let it go, no matter how hard the circumstances were and how confusing it must have been sometimes. God, what am I doing in here? I didn't do anything. In fact, I did the right thing. I ran from her. Why am I in prison? Don't you know he asked himself those questions? He was human as you and I are. But nevertheless, he wouldn't relinquish the vision. And because he wouldn't relinquish the vision, he had the discipline to get through the hard times to the delight, which is the fulfillment of the vision. That's when what God said comes to pass. That's when it's out there, becomes here it is. And you know what Joseph had to say about that? At the end of all of it, what he told his brothers was, "You meant it for harm. I know you did. But I'm going to hate you. Because God meant it for good. He meant for me to save you and a nation. God put me in Egypt. God put me in this place. And he did. But what a road." See, we can't predict the road that's going to take us where God wants us to go. We don't have any control over a lot of things that come along the way. I think about David. Now, he was anointed king at a very early age. But it was some years and a hard road to the throne, because Saul sat on it the whole time. David ran as a renegade about the country with a whole group of desperados, I'll call them. They were distraught. They were in debt. They were disgruntled. They were disillusioned, and he made mighty men out of them. And along that path, at a young age, he slayed a giant named Goliath that brought him to the attention of the king of Saul. But you know, that was part of David's purpose, but that wasn't his final destination. God didn't put David here just to be a giant killer. That was just one thing. His final destination was what God anointed him for. That was the ruler of Israel, because he wanted Israel to have a true shepherd over that nation. One that God could say, "I'm going to take you and I'm going to take your descendants, and your descendants will forever be on the throne of my nation." Because Jesus, the Messiah, was going to come through David's lineage. He looked for a man. And he found him, put him in the earth on purpose, and took him through the course of this road. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. Was he absolutely perfect? No, he wasn't. Did God do with him exactly what he said he intended to do with him? Yes, because when David made a mistake, David admitted a mistake. He repented, and he got right back on the road again with God. And God will get us to our destination if we'll get on the road with him and stay on the road with him. Yes, we get mixed up. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, something comes along and knocks the wind out of us and we fall flat. But if we'll get back up and get ourselves in right relationship with the Lord, he will see us through. He will order our steps to get us to our destination, because he's faithful. And he never fails. His word never fails. He said, "Heaven and earth, as you know it, are going to pass away, but my word never will." So you establish your steps in the word of God, and you won't fail either, because God will never fail you. But without a vision, without that vision on the inside of us, and I'm not talking about having a vision or having a dream necessarily. God has a million ways to put a vision in a person. A million or a trillion. He's totally unlimited. I just heard you say it, Richard. You can't put him in a box. You can't contain God. God contains everything. So don't worry about God doing his part. It's what I'm telling you. It's his job to give you the vision. It's your job to get a hold of it and to keep a hold of it once he does. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what my final destination is. Well, what are you supposed to do today? Where are you going today? Start there. You know, we get so out there and so big and lofty in our thinking sometimes, or want to be, that we confuse ourselves. Keep it simple would be good counsel. What does God want me to do today? What does God want me to do with you tonight? What am I preparing to do tomorrow? today I planned a big meeting at the school. Well, I was supposed to plan it because I invited the people to come. So I had to do some planning. I'm planning a school year at the school. But I have to depend on the Lord to give me, you know, the design of how that's supposed to be this year, so that every year it gets better and better and better. Why? Because God wanted it to be better at Hasty School. That's why He sent me there. Not that it wasn't good, but He goes from glory to glory. It can always be better. That's no slam on the person who was there before me. I'm sure she did an excellent job too. I inherited a great school. But it's going to be better when I leave because God sent me there and He put me there for a season. And I won't leave till He tells me it's time. When He does, I better leave because He'll have something else He wants me to do. And if I'm supposed to step out of the way, that means somebody else is supposed to be there to go the next level with that school. It's an assignment. And it's part of my journey, but it's not all my journey. There's the Bible college. Now, I hope I'm here doing this when I'm 90-some. That will suit me fine. But I didn't know about this Bible college when I went to college to be a teacher. I didn't know about the principalship when I went to college to be a teacher. I went to college to get in a classroom, except I was a little confused. I thought I might be a dental hygienist. I got in school and realized I wanted to run my mouth, not work in other people's. So God helped me straighten that out real quick. That was just because I worked for a dentist in the summers and I got a little bit interested, okay? But I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm just saying, we get mixed up. And God knows. But you know what? If you're trying to please Him, He will help you please Him. He wants us to please Him. I remember one time promising a precious friend, she asked me, her mother was very ill, and she said, when Mama goes, will you preach her funeral? You know who I'm talking about. I said, of course I will. I would be honored to do that. A woman I didn't even know. How am I going to preach her funeral? That was just my heart talking. But you know, God made a way for me to get to know her before she passed. And then He gave me, this was what I was getting around to. I was agonizing over that thing. I said, God, I've got to do this right because we got three children. Only one of them really knows you. And they need to hear a message from you. God, please give me the message to speak at this lady's funeral because I'm going to have her children and her grandchildren right there listening. And here's the thought that, and I mean, I was worried about getting it wrong. Or, you know, messing up or not having it right. And here's the thought that came. Did you ask me to give you a message? Yes. Are you willing to say what I give you? Yes. Do you not think I want them to hear the right message? Yes. Well, then why wouldn't I give it to you? Well, you would, wouldn't you? Yes. And that's kind of the way it went. And that has loosed me. That has set me free. Because I don't have to worry about whether God's going to do His part anymore. If I'm a willing vessel, He doesn't want me wasting anybody's time. He doesn't want me confusing anybody or saying anything that would throw them off track. In fact, He wants it right on the mark. He will give me the message when I have an opportunity to speak for Him. I'm willing. He's able. And that's all I need to worry about. So that set me free. That's part of my purpose. But you see, that has come over time. I'm resting in that part now. Now there's more. There always is. Because potential is one of those things. You know, God's unlimited. He'll let your potential develop as far as you'll develop it. Potential is exactly what it says it is. And there's not an end to it. How far are you willing to go with God on this journey? Because the Word tells us that all things are possible to him who believes. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things that I'm supposed to do. He'll help me do all the things that He put me here to do. He strengthens me to that task. Am I supposed to do all the things? No, they're not all mine to do. I can't sing. I don't have that to look forward to as a part of my ministry. Short of a miracle, you know, God would just have to really totally impart something miraculous to me. So I'm not going to get to do that part as much as I'd love to. That's just too bad, because that's not mine. That's why we're a body. Somebody else gets to do that part. I don't have it all, but all that I do have, I'm supposed to use all of it. I'm supposed to give it and give it and give it until there's none of me left. Like Enoch. You just walk on so far one day that it's easier to go on with the Lord than it is to go back home. Just keep giving yourself away until there's nothing left to give. And then you've done exactly what God said. He who seeks to save his life will lose his life. But he who will lose his life for my sake will save his life. And greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his self-life for his friend or for anybody. So my point tonight, if I haven't made any other, is that your purpose, your vision for your life is given to you on purpose by God, so that you will have a life that helps other people through whatever means it is that He's put on the inside of you, whatever gifts and abilities and talents He's given you that will benefit somebody else. And your purpose is going to have everything to do with benefiting somebody else. Now, there are a lot of jobs and there are a lot of things you could spend your life doing. There are a lot of places to go, a lot of trips to take. There's a lot to do here on this planet. There are a lot of things to accumulate. I just heard somebody put it this way the other night before he sang a song, I think it was. He said, everything you have, you may have the title deed to it. You got a title to your car. It's yours, but it's on loan. Because if you go, that car will belong to somebody else. You got a house. You got a piece of property. You may have the title to that house, the deed to that property. But when you're gone, it'll belong to somebody else. Because you're not going to take it with you. What can you take with you? People. We're here for people. We're not here for things. Jesus said, don't worry about your food, your shelter, or your clothing. God knows you need those. He'll take care of it. Don't worry about anything. Just be here for other people. Now, starting on the right road minimizes frustration and discouragement. Saul of Tarsus didn't start on the right road. Okay? But he got on the right road. If we can start on the right road, then frustrations are minimized. Now, I used to think this. You know, I would hear people get up and give testimonies in church about, you know, I was a former addict. And God has, you know, I've given my life to the Lord. God rescued me out of that. They would have these testimonies, and I thought, I don't have a testimony like that. You know, I had a fairly sheltered childhood, except for one bad thing that happened to me, and I've told some of you about that. But that's really the only really bad thing that ever happened to me. I never told anybody about it till I got older, and somehow, by the grace of God, I just put it away from me. Didn't let it stop me. I was 6 years old. But other than that, I really didn't get in bad places like a lot of people do. I didn't do drugs. I was scared to do that. My daddy, you know, didn't do a lot of things because I was fearful. of getting caught. Just pretty much on a path. But some people start out real hard, is what I'm saying, and they get so frustrated and so lost. So we can be a testimony if we have started out on a good road or a solid road with parents who took care of us and did the best they knew how to do, maybe took us to church, might not have been there, but they at least got us there, then we can give a testimony to the keeping power of God. But wherever we are, whatever road we've started on, yes, it's easier if we get off on a good start, but not all of us do. But you know what? The road God has for us, that doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter who I was. What matters is who He is. And then whose I am, I know you've heard that before. If I'm in Him, then all that stuff behind me anymore anyway. Whether it was good, mine was. Or whether it was not good, and some people's wasn't, and a lot of it was of no fault of their own. I don't understand all that. You know, there are a lot of things I don't understand. How can some people want a baby so bad and never get there without? And how can some people have them and not take care of them? I don't understand that. But I know this. And I know that no matter how I got here, what my circumstances have been, or what road I was or wasn't on, if I'll call on the name of Jesus, He will save me, deliver me from anything I need delivering from, or anybody, and He will set me on the course that He had planned for my life in the first place, whether I got started on track or whether I didn't. It's easier if you do. I love to hear stories of children who grew up in Christian homes. I remember the first time I ever got to spend the night with somebody away from home, and her daddy called us all in the living room. I thought we were in trouble for something. We all sat down, and he got out a Bible. I thought, well, what is this? I thought that was the preacher's book on Sunday. But he had devotions with his family every night, that daddy. I've never forgotten it. That was my first experience with anything like that. I didn't have that, but I had good parents. So, starting out on the right road minimizes frustration and discouragement, but God can overcome frustration and discouragement when we do get on the right road. How much time have I gotten in? Zero. All right. Well, I guess you'll have to come back, okay? Next time, we'll visit right back here in the study guide. That'll be Thursday night. And then on Tuesday night, we'll take our test on fulfilling the vision. That'll give us a week to get ready. Okay?